We are asking you for your help today. We need your strength. We need your protection. And we need your power. Move upon your people. Move upon everyone who's here. Someone who's here may need Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you will touch them. You will heal them. You'll speak to their life. Minister to them in a special way. We thank you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now remain standing. You know, I want to tell you, two weeks ago when I was here, we were going out to vacation. I stayed back. That day, something happened here. There was a noise and a song that I've never heard in this church. It was just a radiant bubble of worship and praise. It was a lifting up of the voices of the saints. And I would like to say, can we have the voices of the saints shouting strong like we did that Sunday? Amen. When I say shouting, I mean I was preaching and I never heard Liberty keep noise like that. People were just shouting. People were just hallelujahing. Amen. And can we get that anointing here this morning? I feel the anointing is here this morning. I feel that somebody's about to break loose. I feel that somebody's about to burst forth. I feel that God is about to do the impossible in the name of Jesus. I feel that God is about to make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. 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 And now I'd like the cameraman, make sure you're there to keep moving while we move so that we can pick up every one of these little parts here. Thank you very much. Amen. Joshua chapter 5. And I want to read the scripture again in verses 1. For it is a powerful scripture. Pastor Gabe, you were not here. You went out. I welcomed your wife in your absence, and we want to welcome you again. Let's give God praise for him. We're going to hear a little some more, and I told the people they all have to come back today or else we're going to keep them in service for 4 hours. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. We're going to get you out of here so you can be back at 5 o'clock. Amen. You don't want to miss it. But Joshua 5, this is something that's very powerful. And you folks are certified counselors, Christian counselors, national or global Christian counselors. How many of you know that the church, this is one of the areas that the church needs to help with the ministries? Because we, men of God, we only believe that sometimes we have told the church, come and get prayed for and fall and leave. But then, yes, you can have a spiritual covering, but if your mind is not reoriented, your spirit is still going to fight with your mind. And that's what Christian counseling does. The old-timers say we don't need it, and that's why we have a lot of warped Christians around where they are spiritually minded, but mentally they're crazy. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Y'all not helping me today. We're going to speak it as it's supposed to be. Some of us are good inside, but man, our minds are messed up. And that's what Christian counseling tries to help us with. And I believe that one of the things we want to do here at Liberty is not only help you with your soul and your body, and your, we want to help you with the whole total man. Body, soul, mind, and spirit. Somebody shout hallelujah. And it's not anything that's powerful, but I believe one of the reasons why God's making people attracted to this church is because we are open, we are honest, we are here to help people. We're not here for money, we're not here for our show, we're just here to help people and make the kingdom of God a place where you can get in. Somebody shout hallelujah. And so I said all of that to say this, that Joshua chapter 5 verse 1 deals with the mind. And it says here, it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, listen to this, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over. Here's what happened when they heard. Their hearts melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the power of the children of Israel. What it tells you is the power of the mind, that when it hears things, it can put you down, and when it hears things, it can lift you up. And people have to understand that the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But Jesus, in Philippians, says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Father, bless your word today. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shout hallelujah as you sit down. Glory to God. Yeah, you're sounding well. Amen. Martin Luther King, in the 1960s, when he was speaking regarding the equality of the nation, he talked about the promised land. He says, I may not get there, but he says, I have a dream that one day the brown, the black, and the white will come together, not for the color of their skin, but for the content of their character. He says, I may not get there with you, but one day you will get there. What Martin Luther was trying to do was inspire a nation through its mind, its emotion, and inspire them that you can do better than you are. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, inspiring people is one of the greatest things you can ever do in your life. To let people know that they could become better than they are. To let people know that the position that they're in, you do not have to stay in it. That there is a God in heaven who looks after the affairs of men. And he doesn't only give miracles to those who look like they only could get a miracle, but he gives a miracle to those whose hearts are set on him. That if you're ready, willing, and able, God will open the windows of heaven, and he will himself come with a right hand of his righteousness and touch you where you need to be touched, where you need to be lifted up. And every one of us need to be lifted up at certain times. Every one of us need to be lifted up, because not all the time are we always on the mountaintop. There are some days we wake up and we are down in the valley. And if we were to wait on our emotions, we would not get out of bed. If we were to think about how we feel, we will not give a cup of water to a poor person. If we think about our own distress, we will not have a helping hand to the next person. But how many of you know that sometimes you need to get out of how you feel? You need to rise out of what your emotions is telling you and say that the God that has kept me in the past is the God that is going to keep me today. And I will know that there is a God in heaven, because when I know that he connects with me and he knows that I love him, and I may not feel how I need to feel every day, but I'm connected to him. I may not have the feeling every day. I may not have the validation every day. I may not have the evidence every day. But this one thing I know, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God who did it yesterday, is the God of today. And he holds me with the right hand of his righteousness. And that there is a promised land that I can get to. I may not have it right now, but my eyes are looking onto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that makes heaven and earth. I may not be in the promised land today, but I have a hope in Jesus Christ. I may not be living in a mansion today, but I got a mansion over the hilltop. I may not be a rich man today, but I'm rich in how I'm rich in the beauty and in the salvation of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that when the kings of Canaan heard that Jordan's river dried up and Joshua went over, when they heard it was the same God that carried Joshua and the 1 million or 2 million over the Jordan River, is the same God that carried them through the wilderness. See, God works in mysterious ways, but he doesn't work all the time in the same way. He will make the Red Sea dry up so you can walk in. But if he wants to keep you in a place, he will keep you, yet he will cover you. There are people who are in the wilderness position and they believe God is not with them. Even in your dry, dark moment, God is with you. Ask the children of Israel in their dark, dry moment that a lot of people are going through, God is still with them. Because in the wilderness, they had no way of cooking and feeding 1.5 million. But God will make a way in the wilderness. You say, why it is they had to stay for 40 days, years in the wilderness? When God puts you in a place and you are in a place where God's teaching you a lesson, he will even provide for you when you're down. It is not only when you're up, he'll provide for you, but when you're down in the valley, he will take care of you. Is there anybody here this morning who have experienced being down in the valley, in the darkest of the night, when everyone turned their backs on you and you did not know who to call on? God sent manna from heaven. God sent quail from heaven. God sent a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He's the God who will look after you when you're down. He's the God who will look after you when you're up. Somebody shout hallelujah. Number one, Joshua, for him to have carried that oil and that anointing, where his leadership capacity would make kings tremble. The Canaanites' kings trembled. The Amorites trembled. Pastor Gabe, he did not lift a sword. He did not say a word. He did not go after them and say, I'm coming for you. God will fight for you without you lifting a hand. But for this to happen, Joshua had to carry some anointing. For this to happen, Joshua had to carry oil in his lamp. People are looking and saying, wait a second. Some people are looking and they're saying, oh, it's easy to run a church. It's not easy to run a church. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to have some oil in your lamps to run a church. It's not easy. It's not easy to run that home. You see them running that home. It's not easy to run that home. You got to have some oil in your lamps to run that home. People look at you and say, wait a second, you're making money. You got a good job. You paid a price to get what you get. You need not envy nobody. They got some oil in their lamps. You look at somebody and it seems that they're doing well. Don't you worry about how well they do. Let God deal with them. You be faithful to God, and God will position you at your right time for your right season, for your right miracle. But you have to carry oil in your lamp. You know, a lot of people, they want prayers, but where is the oil? A lot of people, they want deliverance, but where is the oil that's in you for you to get your deliverance? I believe that today, before we leave here, people are going to leave with deliverance, but you're coming with a fire. You're not coming dry. You're coming with a fire. You're coming and say, like the woman with the issue of blood, if I but just touch the hem of his garments, I shall be made whole. Let me just put a pin right there. The woman will never have been touched had she not come with her own oil, had she not come with her own confidence. Had she not come with her own faith, had she not come with her own believing God for the impossible. And so somebody is looking for a miracle this morning. Let your faith rise now. Don't wait until you come in front for somebody to pray. Let your faith rise right now. I declare over somebody who's watching on the television, somebody who's watching by Facebook, let your faith rise right now, for God is about to reach you at your point of need. Joshua paid a price for leading them to such great victory. You don't let kings tremble without saying a word if you do not carry the anointing of God. How did he get the anointing, Pastor Gabe? 40 years before, when Moses was there, no one knew who Joshua's name was. Moses was standing on the mount, and his hands were lifted up, but Joshua was fighting down in the battle. Nobody called Joshua's name as the great warrior then, but Joshua kept faithful. Sometimes nobody's going to call your name. You're down in the valley fighting, 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 and nobody recognizes you, but oil and anointing is coming upon you. You're in a secret moment in your life. You're in a moment where you're not discovered yet, but keep fighting. I came to tell somebody, keep fighting. Keep fighting a good fight of faith. They may not recognize you, but God recognizes you, and before you know it, there is going to be an anointing upon you. Who am I speaking to here this morning? Oh, I feel the anointing of God on somebody who God is about to lift you up at the right moment and the right season. Pastor Mahes, here is what happened. Joshua was fighting in the valley when no one knew he was. And we need to understand who Joshua was. Joshua was from the tribe of Ephraim. Why is the tribe of Ephraim so important? Because Ephraim was one of the sons of Joseph. When Joseph called Jacob and said, Jacob, you are dying. I need your blessing to come on my boys. It is very biblical regarding the first generation blessing, the second generation blessing, and the third generation blessing. Jacob was the man who was blessed as Israel with the 12 tribes. Joseph, the second generation, was blessed and highly favored, even though he had to go through the pit and the palace, at the pit and the prison before he got to the palace. And then you had the third generation, Manasseh and Ephraim. That's why many people, when we tell them about my dad, who's been in the ministry for over 60 years, and I have been in the ministry as a second generation, and now we have Jonathan and the rest of them coming forward, they're telling me that this is a very unique ministry in the work of the kingdom of God, because they tell us in Africa, you got to bring daddy, you got to bring Jonathan. We want to hear from the first, second, and third generation. Here's what I want to tell you. Your first generation, it may have been gone. You may be in the second generation or the third generation. Here's what I want to declare over you. A lot of you who are listening to me are probably the first generation Christian. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you're the first generation Christian, shout hallelujah. What does that mean? It means you're the first Christian out of your family. Somebody used to be a Hindu. Somebody used to be a something else. Somebody never went to church. But God plucked you out of a distressed moment and say, this is your time. Grace reached out to you where you could not have reached. Grace reached to you. Is there anybody here this morning who can shout, grace, 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 reach me. Hallelujah. And so I want to declare this same blessing that has come upon my father, come upon me, come upon the next generation. I want to declare, if you're the first generation, that it will not stick with you only, that your second generation will also receive the oil and the anointing and the blessings and the favor of God, and it will go to the third generation. Who am I speaking with? I need about seven of you to stand up and say, I am claiming this first, this second, and this third generation in the name of Jesus. I will not be denied.
I will not be denied. I will not be denied. I will not be denied. My son is going to serve God. My daughter is going to serve God. My granddaughter is going to serve God. My grandson is, I declare it. Oh, come on, somebody. I declare it over you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I declare it now. I declare it on the word of God now. I declare that you are going to be the head and not the tail. I declare that weeping is over. I declare you will not have to worry over your next generation. For oil is in your lamp this morning. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. So I want you to see how oil works, how anointing works. Somebody just don't drop suddenly. And God just said, something had to be working. So, 500 years or 400 years before this happened when Joshua was leading, it was about 470 years or 400, if you add the 40 years to the 430, it was about 470 years this happened. Let me just tell you that it may seem that in your background it was insignificant, but God's been working something in your background. And it was as Joseph was now prime minister of Egypt, he calls his dad and he says, I got my two sons. This is the third generation. I need you to bless them. Manasseh was the oldest. Ephraim was the youngest. And in those days, the oldest gets the blessing and the younger gets the less blessing. And so as Joseph brings Manasseh and Ephraim and says, Daddy, pray for them. The blessing in Jacob's life is in his right hand. The right hand of the patriarchs is where the blessing, where he puts that hand is where the blessing goes. God, you don't deny the man of old. They may not be as strong. They may not be as advanced, but they still have certain oil in them. Don't deny what God has upon Papa Michael. There's still oil that comes upon him in the name of Jesus. We have to honor him. Hallelujah. And so even though Jacob was feeble, he still had an anointing upon him. And as Ephraim was there and as Manasseh was on the right, God spoke to Jacob, and his hands being feeble, Jacob crossed his hands. And when God is ready to bless you, he will cross over. Somebody who is supposed to get it, God will jump hurdles to give you the blessing. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm declaring over somebody that God's about to cross over to touch you in your need. You should not have been here. You should have been dead, but God crossed over. Somebody shout hallelujah. You should have been in the madhouse, but God crossed over. You should have been in the back of the desert, but God, he crossed over. Can I get a witness this morning that God, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout, he crossed over. Somebody shout, he made a way where there was no way. He came to me when I could not go to him. He crossed over. Why is that important? He crossed over so he can touch with the right hand of the blessing on the younger boy called Ephraim. And as God's omnipotent power and omniscient knowledge would have it, he crossed over so that the 12th generation would come forth through Joshua. Because the crossing over was so that a brilliant leader could be born. Somebody is carrying in their womb a crossover of a future man, a future woman who is about to change the world. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody who your baby should have died at birth, but God kept that baby alive because God crossed over, put his hands on that child and say, you shall live and not die. Somebody who's here today, you were sick unto death, but God crossed over, lifted his hands, stretched it out to you, came to you when you could not get to him. You could not even pray. You could not even cry. You could not even do anything. But God, he'll come to you when you cannot get to him. Can I get a witness this morning? Oh, I feel God upon somebody. I feel God upon somebody. Imran, the devil wanted to kill you. But if he had killed you, what would have happened with your anointing? What would have happened with you blessing so many people? What would have happened with that voice that God has given you with the anointing of the oil? But God, he crossed over. He crossed over and said, that's my boy. That's my woman. That's somebody shout hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands and say, he crossed over for me.
He crossed over.
He crossed over for me in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Pastor Gabe, when they see people leading thousands, there was a price paid before. So Joshua gets the king's trembling, but he carries an oil because he paid the price before. He came through the right descendant. He came through the right DNA. I don't care what they said about you, that you came through some voodoo priest or some other statue that your parents prayed to or your grandparents and give you up to some god. I came to tell you that God crossed over. I don't care what god they offered you. There is one true and living God that has crossed over to get to you where you are in the name of Jesus. There's many people who are in the church world today. They're living in the church. They love God. But there are some demonic spirits that still attack them because their life has been given over in as sacrificial religious rites years ago when they were young, and it is still bothering them. Can I declare that today is going to be a day of freedom for you? Can I declare right now a separation of every demonic spirit from your life, every single descendant spirit out of your life, every single spirit that would attach to you in the name of Jesus? I declare it bruised. I declare it bound. I declare it separated. I declare it separated from you right now in the name of Jesus. I don't have to touch you in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare a separation of that spirit from you in the name of Jesus. Every descendant demon, every curse to the third and the fourth generation, we declare a severing from it in the name of Jesus. That's not your portion. That's not your background. That's not your connectivity. You are severed from it. You're now connected by the blood of the Lamb. You're now connected by the blood of the Lamb. You're now covered by the blood. Receive your miracle. Receive your anointing. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Can I declare it over you? Can I declare somebody receive it in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. All glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I feel God upon somebody. I feel God upon somebody. I feel the anointing of God. A separation, a separation. Every voodoo spirit, every Hindu spirit, every single Buddhistic spirit, every oppressed spirit, every demonic, depressed, dark spirit, you loud, foul spirit, I declare it gone in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I declare it gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody who's listening to me or somebody who's here today, you've been having bad dreams and it's been affecting you and you're waking up trembling with cold sweat and everything. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that demonic spirit is broken in the name of Jesus. Whoever you are, put it in there and say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. Not only was Joshua coming from Ephraim, where Jacob crossed over and blessed Ephraim, so he becomes the anointed tribe. But fast forward into the wilderness when Joshua was fighting and Moses' hands was lifted up. But fast forward when God asked Moses, send the 12 spies to the land of Canaan. And he sent the 12 spies. 10 came back with bad report. But only Joshua and Caleb, they saw the problem. But they says we are well able to overcome the problem. You know, there's one thing about seeing a problem and making it a big problem. But it's another thing to see a problem and say, my God shall take care of that problem. We got two kinds of people. We got people who look at the impossibility and say we cannot. And we have people who look at the impossibility and say with God all things are possible. We got two kinds of people. One saying no, one saying yes. One saying I can't and one saying we can. I need to tell you that what God is looking for is not people who can say no anytime more, but people who can say yes, yes, yes. Call on me, I will answer you.
You know, in America, one of the biggest excuses, one of the biggest lies excuses, I don't have time. You come from a country, you tell them, they say, well, I haven't heard from you. Well, I'm too busy, I don't have time. No, you're too busy. It's just that you didn't want to do it for them. All right, that's for another story. But when you come to serving God and you use the same excuse, I'm too busy, then you're not only treading on relatives you have dealt with, but you're moving the answers you give to relative to give God the same answer. Come on, I'm going somewhere now. You have trained yourself to say the same thing that you said to relatives, you're saying it to God. And when God hears that, he starts to pull oil from you. And here is what I'm saying. You better get that oil back and start getting back to where God wants you to get back and stop making excuses for the kingdom of God and start serving God with your full mind, your soul, your body, and your strength. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, that's good. That's good. Because we find time for everything. But we don't find time for God. When are you going to come to the prayer meeting? When are you going to latch on to the online prayer meeting? You don't got to go nowhere. You can cook your curry and still click it on. But you know what? No. COVID coming, COVID gone. I ain't got time for prayer meeting. I got time for curry. I got time for General Hospital. I got time for barbecue. I ain't got time for God. God save you during COVID for a time such as this so that you could get more closer to God. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me this morning. And what about the connect groups? What about the staff that's needed for the kingdom? I believe every one of you should register for Connect Group today after this message and say, make sure I get out there. I got to get my oil. I ain't going to waste time. Because what's the Connect Group? It's about studying the Word of God. And one of the biggest things the devil would like to keep you away from is knowing the Word of God. He'll like you to palaver. He'll like you to do, but you go to the Word of God, he'll keep you away from it. And so I want everybody to register for the Connect Group.
and start getting yourself there. We've had 15 connect groups. I want to see 20, 25. We should mass this whole New York City with connect group. Tell them, what are you doing? I'm studying the Word of God. Connect today. But here is what I like to say before I move from this, and I need to end. Man, I can go on, but no, we have a lot of things here today. And this is for those of you who are going to go to Israel. When Joshua and Caleb were sent to the promised land, one of the things the tradition tells us is not only did they go spying the land, but they went to the cave of Machpelah. Now, the cave of Machpelah, for those of you who do not know history, is where the patriarchs' tombs are. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in there, Abraham's wife, Sarah, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, and Jacob's first wife, Leah, are there. And the Bible doesn't say that Joshua and Caleb went to visit the tomb. Now, there's no power in the tomb, but sometimes you have to remember where you came from. And when they went to the promised land, the forefathers were buried there from 470 years ago, and they remembered their connectivity to who they are today. That they remember there would have been no children of Israel, no Jacob, had there been no Abraham, no Isaac, and no Jacob. And so one of the things they did was not only spy the land, but they went to pay homage to their patriarchs and those who were gone on before. Here is what I'd like you to remember if you are going to connect. Remember where you came from. Remember the God who moved you from where you were to where you are today. Don't be like the 10 lepers. Only one came back. 9 forgot who God was. God has been too good to all of you who are here today. Can you clap your hands if God has been too good? God has been too good for you not to remember who He is to you. So they not only came back with good news, but they came back with an inspiration. Saying, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who spoke to them 470 years ago, they're now in a grave. They're now in a sepulcher. They're now in the cave of Machpelah. But the same God who spoke to them is the same God. They may be dead, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not dead. He's alive. And we are well able to go and get the land. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody raise your hands and say, I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of giants. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm going in. I came to tell somebody, do not be afraid for tomorrow. Do not be afraid of what your troubles are. Do not be afraid of the doctor's report. For the same God who healeth shall heal thee. Do not be afraid. Somebody shout, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Somebody shout, I ain't afraid at all. I won't be able to finish, but here's the second thing I want to tell you, is that God will fight for you and make your powerful enemies fearful. He'll reverse the minds of enemies and shift our minds to victory. Because the Bible says that in chapter 5 of Joshua verses 1, When they heard, this were the kings of the Canaanites. When they heard, their hearts were melted and their spirit were broken. God will make a way
to melt your enemies' hearts and break your enemies' spirits. For you are being looking to fight them because of how they look. But don't let size make you scared. God is going to fight for you. You remember what happened to David and Goliath? Don't let size frighten you. What kind of size are you looking at? Some of you are looking at the size of your financial dilemma. What kind of size are you looking at? What kind of size are you looking at? That size of that mortgage that needs to be paid. That size. You want to buy that home and you don't know where the down payment is coming from. What are you scared about? What are you scared about? For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. Here's a question. Have you been faithful to God for him to show a miracle for you when you need his miracle? What have you been doing for the last 40 years for God to bring oil upon you? And so that's why some people don't understand. But Pastor, I've been giving to the church. I've been paying my tithes. I've been faithful. I see nothing. You don't understand. God's looking. Man may not be looking, but God is looking. Nobody records what it is. Nobody says anything, but God sees it. And you've been faithful. You've given out of your own pocket. You've given out of your own need. And in the middle of your heart, God is going to provide. God's going to make a way. God's going to make a way. I want to close with this. God will use Rahab the harlot to bring victory. He will use anyone to bring victory. The Bible says that Rahab was the harlot, but she took care of the spies who came to see the land of Canaan. Now, it was the land of Canaan that they were spying. And Rahab the harlot had a scarlet line. And he says, you take care of us. And you protected us and you give us the information. For it was her who said, I am also testifying that inside of this city, everybody is scared, even though you have not even entered in. She told them, the land is clear, the coast is ready, march in. Joshua said to his men, tell her that when we come in, and we take Jericho, let her throw a scarlet cloth so that we will know it is her, Rahab, and nobody can touch Rahab because of the scarlet cloth. I want you to know there's a scarlet cloth being thrown before you. It is called the blood of Jesus. For he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everyone else may not notice you, but when I see the scarlet robe, I'll pass over you. You could be the deepest, vilest, most promiscuous sinner, but God says, I will save you. I will keep you. I will protect you in the midst of who you are. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to tell you a revelation that'll blow your mind. I actually didn't think about it until now when I was preparing. The 6 days that they march quietly were the 6 days that was preparing them for the land of Canaan. Minister Imran, in the book of John, in the first wedding that Jesus went to, was in the marriage of the land of Canaan. It was a connectivity with the promised land that Joshua carried the children of Israel and that Jesus would be at the marriage of the land of Canaan. And did you know that there were 6 days of marching around? And did you know there were 6 water pots that were had to be filled so that the wine could come? And did you know that in those water pots, there was nothing in there, but when Jesus says, fill the water pots up, he says, fill it up with water.
when you fill it with water that is natural, God will do a miracle that is supernatural. You put natural, he puts supernatural. You pour in water, he makes wine out of water. He'll pour in the oil in the wine that restored our soul. He saw me bleeding and dying on Jericho's road, so he poured in the oil in the wine. 6 days, you march around, six empty water pots might be in your life. Six empty water pots might be in your life, and everything is now chaotic and empty and gone. But ho, who is there? Master is there, sitting down, minding his own business. He didn't come so people could know him. He just came to enjoy the marriage. Have you ever been in a position where you don't want your name to be called, but you just want to enjoy the time? Jesus went there just to have a good time. But when the master calls you, you have to answer. When you're on duty, you have to say, "Ho, ho, sir, I'm here on duty." They says, the Mary, "Mary, we have no wine." Mary then turns to her son, Jesus, and says, "They need wine." Jesus turns to her and says, "My time has not come, woman. Why are you pushing me to do something?" Jesus turns to them, for she knew who he was. She had birthed him. She knew that there was miracles in this man's hands. She knew there was miracles in this man's mouth. She knew that he was the Son of the living God. She turns to them and say, "Whatever he says, do it." Sometimes what he tells you may sound stupid, crazy. It sounds unconventional. It sounds, this is not in our religiosity. This isn't sung into our own connectivity of our scriptuality, of the eschatology. Oh, come on, y'all help me. I got some big words here today. It doesn't sound like it's meshing up. But whoa, my God, he can do the impossible. He can make a way where there is no way. He can deliver you, hallelujah. You pour in the water in the empty jars, wine will come out. Somebody is about to pour something in. And I believe God's about to pour into your life. An emptiness that's in your life, he's about to pour anointing. He's about to pour the power of God. He's about to pour healing, deliverance, miracles. He's about to turn you around. Stand to your feet and give God a praise. Come on, stand to your feet and give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. Come on and give God a praise. All across this place. All across this place. You're ready for your miracle. You're ready for your deliverance. You're ready for your cup to be drawn up high. Lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, start to speak to God.
Hallelujah.
Start to talk to God.
Feel